Well, good morning. Want to wish everyone good morning today. Glad to have everyone here this morning in our service. We want to welcome our radio listeners and also those that joined us by Facebook. It's good to be in God's house this morning. I'm going to ask that you stand with us, please, as we open our service. We'll sing "We're Marching to Zion." You join in with us. To Zion. As I said, it's good to have everybody here today. If we have visitors, welcome to our service. We're going to just turn around and greet each other, wave as we welcome our pastor to the stage. Good to have everybody here today.
Well, good morning. It is good to see you. I'm glad that you are here today. We welcome you to our on-site worship service. For those of you listening on radio and by Facebook today, we'll be going back to Philippians chapter 4. I've been in a series called Worry Less and Live More. And so this morning we'll be talking about the practice of peace. Well, I've got this on. I went back to the sound booth a while ago, and I said, "Hey, where's lapel mic?" Well, I had it on, so that kind of tells you, you know, what kind of start I've had this morning. But anyway, it's good to see you. I'm glad you're here, and we're going to worship the Lord together today. So just, you know, open your heart to the Lord and look to Him today for His word in your life. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for the day, and we thank you for this time that you've given us to worship. Lord, today we want your peace, and the world needs your peace. So that's what we'll be talking about today. I ask, Lord, today that we would honor you in our worship. I pray today that each of us would open our hearts to you and your will for our lives. We just thank you so much for the privilege of worship that we have. And we just ask today, God, that you would guide us in everything we do. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. You know, they say that's the first thing that's a sign, you know. I'm sure that's a sign that we're all going to be there probably someday. Also, don't forget, next Saturday night, I guess you need to turn your clocks back. So it's that time of year. So next Sunday will be 1 hour later. So make sure you turn your clocks back next week. Also, had an announcement on the screen about Upward Basketball, so we will be having an Upward League. That's the plan, and we'll have evaluations on November 10th and 12th. So if you have any questions about that, would like to help, just see me after church. We're going to sing about God's grace. The next set of songs we'll be singing about, so you know them very well. You join in with us. Grace greater than our sin.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled, grace, grace. Shining as the sun. to sing God's praise than when we first begun.
Thank you. Aren't you glad for God's amazing grace? And as our pastor mentioned his series on peace, we can have peace knowing that God's grace is sufficient. I'm going to be singing the special music before the praise team comes forward, and it's entitled, Your Grace Still Amazes Me.
My faithful Father enduring friend your tender mercy like a river with no end it overwhelms me my sin each time I come into your presence I stand in wonder once again your grace still amazes me your love is still a mystery each day. I fall on my knees. Your grace still amazes me. 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 It's deeper, it's wider, it's stronger, it's higher. It's deeper,
it's deeper,
it's wider,
it's wider,
it's stronger,
it's stronger,
it's higher than anything my eyes can see. Your grace still amazes me. Still a mystery each day. I fall on my knees. your grace still amazes me. Your grace still amazes me.
His grace is amazing, isn't it? At the praise team to come forward, we'll ask you to join with us during this first song. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And that's what we believe. It's what God's word says. So we're going to ask you to join with us in this first hymn, this first praise song, and then we'll ask you to sit on the second one. So if you could stand with us and join in.
Through every battle, through every heartbreak, through every circumstance, I believe that you are my fortress, you are my portion, you are my hiding place. I believe you are the way, the truth, provider, you are protector, you are the one I love. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are the way, the truth, a new horizon, and I'm fed on you, and you meet me here today with mercies that are new. All my fears and doubts, they can all come true, because they can't stay long when I am here with you. It's a new horizon, and I'm set on. That are new. All my fears and doubts, they can all come true, because they can't stay long when I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are the way, the truth. Fears and doubts, they can all come true, because they can't stay long when I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe.
He tells us He is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus also tells us that all who are weary, come unto Him. So this is this song, Oh Come to the Altar. You join in with us as we sing.
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar.
for the cross of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the forgiveness, the mercy, and the grace that was displayed at the cross. We thank you, God, that you have provided peace that can pass all understanding, and that is knowing you in a personal relationship. Pray if there be anyone here today who does not have that peace in their heart, God, today would be the day that they would accept you as Lord and Savior. Thank you for this opportunity to sing your praises. Open our hearts now to receive your word. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you, Jeff, and worship team, congregation, for the music today. You can turn to Philippians chapter 4. If you have a Bible, if not, you can follow along on the screen. The words will be on the screen. So Philippians chapter 4, and I want to begin at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, and I want you to mark that, the peace of God, excuse me, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these things do. And the God of peace, so you can mark that, the God of peace will be with you. Psychologists and all the counselors tell us that we are living in the age of anxiety. There's a lot of concern, a lot of troubles, a lot of worries today that are stressing people out. So where do we go for the answer? Well, we can seek help, you know, from professionals. We can seek help from friends. But where we need to go is to the Word of God. And Philippians 4 is that passage in the Bible that is the go-to passage for Americans. All the posters and people who keep up with this kind of thing tell us that this is the passage that people go to when they feel worry or concern. Now, the reason is because here's the answer. Here's how we try to deal with the concerns of life that we have. And what we've been saying is, what God does in this passage is to give us the guidelines to how we can worry less and live more. And the way it's been broken down here in this passage is the right kind of praying, the right kind of thinking, and the right kind of living is how we get there. But the result of that is peace. And that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk to you about the kind of peace that the Bible talks about. Now, in the Bible, there are three kinds of peace, and we'll be talking about those today, and I want you to follow along, and I want you to open your heart to this peace that God is giving to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. Somehow, in God's infinite grace, what God does is to reduce our fears, and He replaces them with a peace that transcends understanding. I mean, we can't understand it. And that's what the Bible says here. It is a peace that surpasses all understanding. But we know that peace is from God, that is God's peace that He gives to us. The Puritan writer Thomas Watson said this. He said, "If God be our peace, He will give us peace in trouble. When there is a storm without, He will make music within. The world can create trouble and peace, but God can create peace in trouble." So amid all the trouble and chaos and confusion that we see in the world today, God wants us to have peace. And so we can have that peace that the Bible talks about. The first kind of peace that I want to talk about is the peace of God. And that's seen in verse 7 here, the peace of God. So that's one kind of peace that the Bible talks about. It is the peace of God. Everyone who knows Jesus Christ as personal Savior can go through problems, troubles, trials, and difficulties and still have this kind of peace. It is the peace of God. We may have tears at a graveside. You may lose your spouse. A child may be sick. You may be facing a difficulty that is beyond you. But the Bible gives us the promise of a peace that goes beyond understanding. In the midst of it, we still can have the peace of God. And that's what he's talking about here in these verses. Now, it is God's peace. It's strong. It's deep. It's grounded in eternal truth, this peace that we're talking about today. So it is a peace that is the peace of God. In Acts 10:36, the Bible says this, "The word which God sent to his children Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all." So it is a peace that comes through Christ, a relationship with him. But he is Lord of all. He is Lord of my struggle. He is Lord of my difficulty. He is Lord of my pain. He is Lord of my confusion. He's Lord of my trials. But he's Lord of the pressures of life. And with all of that, because he is Lord, that I can have peace in my heart. Paul said it this way in Ephesians 2:14, "For he himself," speaking of the Lord, "for he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation." So the point is, he is our peace. Our peace is found in him. John 14:27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So it is a peace that comes from Jesus Christ. Now, the unsaved person doesn't know this peace. A person that doesn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ through faith doesn't know this kind of peace. But it is a peace that brings security. It's a peace that brings calmness in the midst of the storm. One commentator said it this way, and I really like the way he said it, so I've written it down here, and I wanted to give it to you. He said, "This peace is derived by the Father, purchased for us by the Son, installed in our hearts and installed within our minds by the Holy Spirit." I like that. Because he is Almighty God, and because he is God, he can give us a peace. And this is the peace of God that the Bible talks about. It is the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. His peace is available to every one of us in every circumstance, in all situations, wherever you may be, wherever I may be, whatever location in life you're in, whatever you're struggling, this peace is available to everyone. And that's the promise of the Bible. However, we can't describe it. We can't analyze it. It's beyond our understanding. But we know that this peace is real because we experience it in our hearts and in our lives. Paul was talking in Ephesians 3:19. And Paul was talking about the love of God, and he used the same terminology that he uses right here in Philippians when he talked about the love of God. He said, "God's love surpasses knowledge." And see, that's what he says about God's peace. It's a peace that we don't understand. You know, how can we understand the love of God and all that goes with that? Well, the same is true with his peace. We can't understand it, but we experience us. So what does this kind of peace do for us? What will it do for you? What will it do for me? Well, the Bible says here in Philippians that what it does is that it will guard your hearts, verse 7, "the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and guard your minds. See, when it comes to worry, there's a physical part of it. There's a spiritual part of it. There's an emotional part of it. Someone said it this way: my thoughts give me headache, and my headaches and my feelings, give me stomach aches. So that's one way to think about it. But what he says here is that he will guard our mind with truth, and that he will guard our emotions with trust. So see, those are two key things. To have our heart guarded with truth. Where do we find truth? The Bible. You know, people like to talk about that verse, "The truth has set you free." And that verse is used in a lot of different, situations. But what that's talking about, the truth that has set you free, is God's Word. So we have all these promises from God, and we have all the promises. Someone's counted them and said there are over 7,000 promises in the Bible, and so that's what we need to have in our mind. That's what's going to guard our hearts, the truth of God's Word, and then to be able to put our trust in Him. So truth and trust is what helps us with all the anxiety and all the challenges that we're facing in life today. Colossians 3:15 says it this way: "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts." That word rule, what it means is umpire. Let God be the umpire. Let God rule your heart. Let God rule your thoughts with His truth and our trust in Him. So when we study the subject of peace in the Bible, all the way from Genesis to Revelation, the center point of that peace always comes to the person of Jesus Christ. He is called in the Old Testament the Prince of Peace that will come. And He is our peace. And He is the person of peace. So just remember this, though. God's peace is not the absence of difficulty. God's peace doesn't mean the circumstances will change, but it is a deep peace. And it's a peace that we have that's below the surface of life. It's a peace that gives us stability in life, even though the circumstances may not change. 1929. You're familiar with this name, J.C. Penney. J.C. Penney was a very successful businessman. But J.C. Penney in 1929 was admitted to the hospital because of anxiety. And he had all this worry and all this anxiety in his life. And on this particular night while he's in the hospital, he really felt the anxiety so heavy that he thought he was going to die. So what he did was start writing letters to his family. He wrote a farewell letter to his wife because he thought he was going to die. He wrote a farewell letter to his son because he thought he was going to die. But here's what he said about that. He said the next morning, he made it through the night, he didn't die. And so the next morning, he heard music from the chapel. And he heard the song that you may know, the song that we sang here sometimes, "God Will Take Care of You." So they were singing that song. And here's what J.C. Penney said. He said, "Suddenly something happened. I can't explain it. It was a miracle. I felt if I had been instantly lifted out of the darkness of the dungeon to the warmness of brilliant light. I felt if I had been transported from hell to paradise. I felt the power of God as I'd never felt it before." He went on to say, "I knew that God, with His love, was there to help me." He said, "The most dramatic and glorious minutes of my life were spent in those hours that I spent that morning in that chapel." That is the peace of God. The second kind of peace that the Bible talks about, and it's seen here in verse 9, is the God of peace. So the only thing better than the peace of God is the God of peace and knowing Him. Now, biblical peace isn't a lighthearted attitude. That's not what biblical peace is. Biblical peace understands the gravity of a situation that you may be facing or I may be facing. So it doesn't take it lightly. It understands that. But it also knows that we can find an anchor in the storms of life in the person of the God of peace. He is the God of peace. I was reading some verses on this, and the verse that I really liked that I wanted to share with you today that really helped me in my life was Psalm 29:11. Listen to this verse. The Lord will give strength to His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. There's two key words in that verse. His people. He's talking about people who have a relationship with Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. He's talking about people who believe, people of faith, people who trust the Lord. His people. But He says, I'll give you strength and I will give you peace if you put your faith and trust in Me. And folks, I'm telling you, we need strength and we need peace. Our peace depends on relationship with Him. On Sunday, August 3rd, 1980, Charles Spurgeon, of course, he was a great preacher in England, was preaching his Sunday morning message. He was 57 years old. On that particular Sunday, he was celebrating his 40th birthday as being a child of God. In other words, he was celebrating 40 years as being a Christian. He was 57 years old. On this particular Sunday, he was very ill, but he went to the pulpit anyway. He didn't know it, but within 2 years, Spurgeon would die. But he told his congregation on that Sunday, and he was speaking about this verse, Psalm 29:11, the Lord will give strength to His people, the Lord will bless His people with peace. But on that Sunday, here's what he told his congregation. He talked about an inner peace, and he said, those who have this inner peace dread no outward disturbance and feel no inward storm. Who does not desire such a state? So what Spurgeon did in his sermon that morning was to go into his thoughts and meditation that he had on that verse the night before he preached on that Sunday. And here's what he said. He said, as I turned my text over last night, it seemed to me to be a very wonderful passage. The Lord will bless His people with peace. We have had peace with God these 40 years. He's speaking of his own life. So he's had peace with God for 40 years. Yes, but we have a promise of peace for today. Suppose we should live another 40 years, we shall have the same promise. The Lord will bless His people with peace. And he went on to tell the congregation that day, he said, take this truth home to your heart and live upon it. And I would say the same thing to you that Spurgeon said so many years ago. Take this truth home to your heart and live upon it. God will give us strength and God will give us peace. Psalm 4:8, I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for You alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Have you ever had a hard time going to sleep at night? Think about that verse, Psalm 4:8. John 16:33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in Me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be in good cheer, for I have overcome the world. We're talking about the God of peace. This is the God of peace. Psalm 119:165, great peace have those who love Your law. Someone said it this way, talking about the normal Christian experience. They said it this way, guarded round the clock by peace, by the peace of God, and walking every moment with the God of peace. That's good. There's a third kind of peace that the Bible talks about, and that is peace with God. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Now, the only way to have peace with God is through Christ. And that's what Romans is saying here. We have peace with God through Jesus Christ. This peace is available immediately. We can have it in our life and have it in our heart. You see, the greatest warfare that's going on in the world today is in the hearts of individuals who have never made peace with God. See, the Bible explains it this way, that if we haven't made peace with God, then we're at war with God. That's what the Bible talks about. What justification means, it means that there's been a change. It means that we've been forgiven of sin. It means that our relationship with God, you know, is different. And so we make peace with God. That's how we make peace with God. Now, the greatest tragedy this morning would be this, for me to stand up here and say that, you know, if I didn't say that if you haven't made peace with God, that you would be lost, that would be a great tragedy. But that's the truth of the Bible. We've got to make peace with God in order to be saved. In order to have this peace that he's talking about. And so Colossians 1:20 says that this way, through him, Jesus, to reconcile all things to himself, that means that we're changed, our life is changed, our sins are forgiven, our relationship with God is changed. But he says this, having made peace through the blood of his cross. So the word reconcile just means that our relationship with God has been changed. Why? Because of the cross. Because of Jesus shedding his blood on the cross. Many years ago, many, many years ago, in the very beginning, Adam and Eve made a choice in the Garden of Eden. And because of that choice, sin came into the world. Later in the Bible, we read about Jesus who came and died on the cross for our sins in order for this relationship to be changed. There are three facts about the human story of mankind that are still the same. The first is that his past is filled with sin. The second is his present is filled with sorrow. And the third is the certainty of death faces him in the future. And that has never changed. The only pact of peace is Jesus Christ. Christ stands ready to welcome anyone who will turn to him and accept him into their life. You may know the name H.G. Wells. H.G. Wells said on his 65th birthday, he said, I am 65 and I am lonely and I've never found peace. How sad. Isidore Duncan was the great ballet dancer. And here's what she said. She said, I've never been alone, but that my heart did not ache, my eyes filled with tears, and my hands tremble for peace and joy that I never found. Now think about that. So I'm bringing all this to conclusion today. Here's my question. Are you at peace with God? You will never know peace until you know Christ as Savior. And that's where it begins. And when we know him, then we have the peace of God. We know the peace, the God of peace. And then we've made peace with God. And that's how it's happened. You know, when I think about the cross and I think about the importance of the cross and what the cross means, what it means is that we can have peace with God. But I see three things in the cross. In the cross, I see a description of our sin, how deep it is. In the cross, I see the overwhelming love of God. And in the cross, I see the only way of salvation. That's the cross. It's through the cross of Christ that we have peace with God. I didn't know this about Queen Victoria, but I read this in one of the biographies about her, but from time to time she would visit the slums of London, and she would visit different houses. And one day she went to this house of an older lady, and she asked the lady this question. She said, before she left, she said, "Is there anything I can do for you?" And the woman said, "Yes, ma'am, there's one thing you can do for me. You can meet me in heaven." Now she's talking to the Queen of England. In this biography about her, the writer said, the Queen turned to the lady and said softly, "Yes, I'll be there, but only because of the blood that was shed on the cross for you and me." You see, if you're the Queen of England or a pauper in the street, doesn't matter. The way to heaven is through Christ. The way to know peace is through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you've never invited Him into your life, we want you to do that today. Know His peace. Make peace with God. And you can do that today. Let's stand for our time of invitation. Father, we thank You today for Your Word. And we thank You for this peace that we have. Lord, we know it's because of what Christ did for us on the cross. And when we believe in Him and we trust Him, and we ask Him to come into our life, that's where this new life begins. That's where we make our peace with You. Father, when we make our peace with You, then the promise of the Bible is that we can know the peace of God in our hearts. In time of difficulty, in time of trouble, in time of circumstance beyond us, we can have a peace that surpasses all understanding. Lord, today I pray for those who need to come to the cross today. For those who need to bow down at the cross and receive You as Savior, I pray that they would do that. Lord, for believers here today who feel anxiety and worry and trouble, I pray that they would look to You for the peace that they need. God, in this time of invitation, I pray that we would open our hearts to You and open our lives to You. And leave here today with peace. In Your name I pray. Amen.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
Appreciate you being here today. Worship team, you can come now to the stage. They're going to dismiss us today. Okay. So they'll dismiss us today in our song of benediction. But this week, you know, go in God's peace, go in His grace, and let Him be with you. Because our peace is in Him. And we need Him. We need His peace, and we need His strength. And that's what I pray for every day. I pray that God keeps us all safe and healthy, and, you know, we just know Him and know His peace and His strength. Okay? If you have an offering you'd like to give today, the place will be at the door, so you can do that. But thank you for being here today, and may God's peace be with you. Thank you.
As we go through this week, this song, Open the Eyes of Our Heart, I pray that God opens our heart, the eyes of our heart this week, to see Him as He truly is, holy, holy, holy. You join in with us as we close our service.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see You. I want to see You. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see You. I want to see You. Shining in the light of Your glory, pour out Your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. To see You high and lifted up, shining in the light of Your glory, pour out Your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see You. I want to see You. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see You. I want to see You. To see You high and lifted up, shining in the light of Your glory, pour out Your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. To see You high and lifted up, shining in the light of Your glory, pour out Your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see You. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see You. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see You. I want to see You. I want to see You.
Thank you. Have a great week this week. You're dismissed.